It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, my friends. I am Chris Mack. He is Mark Cabali. Good morning to all our friends, Yinzers, and countrymen far and wide. Joining Cabali and Mack this morning, it is June 18th, 2025, episode number 67. 67 always makes me think of Duval Love.
Duval, 67. What's he remind me
of?
I was never 67. I don't even know. 67 is not a very popular number in any sport.
It is not. Follow us at Cabali and Mack on X, on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all your social medias, and of course on YouTube, because if you're one of the first 2,500 subscribers on YouTube, you'll be eligible to win that autographed Paul Skeens baseball once we get to 2,500 subscribers, right around 1,785 last I checked this morning. Which means we got bumped that number up if you want to win that ball. So get to YouTube, Cabali and Mack, and subscribe, and we'll get you that Paul Skeens baseball. He is veteran Steelers reporter Mark Cabali, of course, correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, and also writer for WWE.com. He made a very important WWE prediction over the last month, it feels like, that finally hit on Monday night on Raw. We'll get into the Goldberg thing. We'll talk plenty of Penguins today because Josh Yoey is supposed to check in about halfway through the show, and I'll actually include him in the conversation, unlike last time when I didn't. And all of that, because there's plenty to talk about. He had an Evgeny Malkin story the other day. Dan Muse, obviously, has been introduced as the new head coach. Yoey was up there in Buffalo for the scouting combine talking to Kyle Dubas. A lot to get into with him, and the Stanley Cup was awarded last night. It's still the best trophy in sports, Kaboom. I don't care what it's the best trophy presentation in all of sports. I don't care what anybody says.
You know what? I just found my old Pony League trophy. I should have brought it out if I know you were going to go there. I'd show you my old Pony League trophy, and I can show you the stats underneath it. They put the stats for the regular season of my Pony League and see
how many games you won and all that.
I don't know. My batting average, home runs, ribbies, and all that stuff.
Was this like a Pony League MVP trophy?
Yeah, dude, we won the division. We won the whatever. The league. Pony league now. Pony league's like 300 feet now. It's a pretty.
Yeah.
I should go get that. That'd be tremendous.
Where is it? Do you know where it is?
Right over there.
We'll go get it.
Are you going to do your little reads here?
Yeah. Well, I'll talk. I'll tell everybody what we're going to talk about today while you go get the trophy so you can show it off. By the way, congrats to figuring out the new camera and lighting situation. Kaboom has also added a giant bottle of ranch dressing behind him as well, which is as on brand as it gets. Yeah, Florida wins the cup. Tyrese Halliburton is hurt, might not play in game 6 tomorrow night, but the bigger news, the stuff about Evgeny Malkin. And of course, someone on the Steelers side of the defense got paid. Thanks to Dan Heck, the Dan Heck team. HeckTeamHomes.com is where you want to go. HAECK. They are presenting sponsors of Cabali and Mack, and we appreciate them for doing so. They make it possible for us to do this a few times a week and talk to Yins when we do. They're ready to help you buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. The best team around to do so. So Dan Heck is the guy. Heck Team Homes, HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. Cabali said the trophy was, quote, right over there, and now he's disappeared. He's gone. I don't know if he went to get a mayonnaise sandwich. I don't know if he can't find the trophy now. I have no idea. He's wandered off completely to go find his Pony League trophy in some sort of half-assed attempt to claim that it's a better trophy.
I got something even better now. Look what else I found.
What?
Old
57.
Arizona Cardinals jersey.
Who was 57 for the Cardinals back in the day? Is there a name on the back?
No. This was the great Nico Noga. Look at that. Look at that sucker. Look at this old school jersey.
What do you have? That trophy is minuscule.
Yeah.
Oh, why is it so small?
1880 something. Look at this. Oh, man. I can't even see this. Okay, led the team.
Okay, what year is this?
1989, maybe 88, 89.
Okay.
Average, led the team, 530. Singles, 19, led the league, led the team. Doubles, 10, led the team. Home runs.
Triples in there?
No. Home runs. Led the team. Run scored 33. Look at that sucker.
Look at that. All that on the bottom there. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Monyok American champs, baby. This meant something back in the day.
Yeah, that wasn't a participation trophy. That's what you get when you hit, what, 533 or whatever the average was?
Pony League, baby. Only 6 home runs, but we probably only played like 12 or 14 games. Whatever. Digress.
Not as good as the Stanley Cup.
Not close as good second. As my Little League stats, but that's beside the point.
Not as good as the Stanley Cup. That still gets me every time. I have to watch that every year live when it happens. I have to watch the Stanley Cup carried around the ice. The Panthers did it last night, letting all the guys who hadn't won one before, since this is back-to-back for them, take it for a spin first, and then they got to everybody else. I thought it was a cool thing. And I also think there's a point to be made about the way that team's been constructed and the way they've won the cup in back-to-back years and gone to the final 3 years in a row that we could talk to Yoey about when he jumps on in about 20, 25 minutes. But thanks to Southwest Greens as well for sponsoring the show. SouthwestGreensPA.com. We know all kinds of people that want to have a good-looking yard. We don't know all kinds of people that want to put time, effort, and energy into making the yard look like that, though, right? I know I don't. How about a beautiful artificial surface from Southwest Greens? If it's good enough for Sam Burns, it's good enough for you. He was a leader at the U.S. Open all the way through until the middle of the fourth round after the delay the other day. Southwest Greens will come in. They'll tell you exactly what they can do for your yard. Great for pets, great for kids, great for you because you're not out there cutting the grass all the time, having to spray all the weed killer on there, whatever other nonsense you got to do to make your lawn look good. It'll just simply look good and you'll be able to use it whenever you want. Go to southwestgreenspa.com today. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you. So Deshaun Elliott gets a contract extension. Kaboom. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about the actual
more into this, but
we got it. The numbers were good.
Good.
They were very good. 1989, you were a Pony League killer. We got it.
Man, that's 300 feet, baby. Hitting the home run every other game. Come on.
We said it was very good. I said it was very good. I don't know.
You think I made up myself getting hit with a chair as CWF commish. Look at Lost Sheep 26 there. I don't know who Lost Sheep 26 is, but he's well aware of my
We're all aware of your athletic bona fides.
Well, okay? when you peak at age like 10, 11, 12, 13, you tend to hark back on that a little bit. And
say, yeah, yes, it's fair to have those memories. Absolutely. Let's get back
to brass tacks.
Yeah, Deshaun Elliott's 28 and just got a 3-year, $15.5 million contract extension from the Steelers. Includes $9.2 million guaranteed. Was in on at least 3 or 4 turnovers last year. One pick that I remember, a couple of fumbles forced. And when he wasn't in those Philly and Baltimore games, specifically the first Baltimore game, the regular season one down there, we remember what the run defense looked like. One so hot. This is a guy that more often than not lines up in the box as a box safety. He can play slot corner. He can play center field. He did some of that as well last year. I think he's, if you want Minka to really truly sit back and play center field and become that ball hawking guy again that he was a few years ago, I think Deshaun Elliott's the perfect complement because Minka doesn't have to worry about coming up and fitting in the run game unless they're getting steamrolled like they did in the playoffs by Baltimore. Deshaun Elliott does that. He takes care of that. I love his attitude. He's a little edgy, right? He gets pissed off. He said so after the Chiefs game when things don't go well. He reminds me a lot in a different way. He doesn't play the game necessarily exactly the same way. Maybe not quite as hard a hitter, but he reminds me a lot of Mike Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was the hard hitter, wasn't he?
Did he win that?
I mean, wasn't he the one? Or was it him or Casey?
He had some big hits.
Isn't he the one that broke the helmet? No.
No, that's Casey.
Yeah, okay. But, this guy is, what is he now? 30th high-paid safety in the league now? He's not getting paid very much money there. That's $6 million, a little bit more than $6 million. You knew right away that he fit into this group very well, and you didn't spend a lot for him. And he always seemed like he wanted to be a Steeler guy. He's somewhat of a leader. It's hard to be a leader first year in the building, But, you know, one of the guys chirping late last year was him because it wasn't really living up to his expectations and standards as well. Well,
so he did the same thing. It kind of got him pushed out the door a little bit in Miami. He talked about how the Dolphins were soft on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think they appreciated that, but he's outspoken. He'll tell everybody when they're not playing the way they should be playing.
He's the once a weeker, we call him.
Once a week?
Maybe Friday. I'm like, well, by the time it's Friday, it's too late. But that's probably why you don't hear much from him. But he has no filter when it comes to that. With going through the mind, he comes out and tells you. And if he's going to call somebody out in the media, you know darn well he's calling somebody out in that room, you know, if they're not doing something. And that's what you need. You need accountability. And I don't think there's a person out there saying, boy, I can't believe they signed Deshaun Elliott to a 2-year deal and gave him $12-13 million. I mean, I think this is money well spent right here. Now you have to say, moving forward here, does this pretty much wipe out a Calvin Austin potential extension if you get to August?
I don't know. There's still plenty of room under the cap. The cap's going to grow every year. We know that. I think
that's a guy you could probably get cheap too.
Well, I think it depends on what August. It depends on what they do on the second wide receiver position, right? Like, if they go out and pay a little bit of money to an Amari Cooper, whose name keeps, you know, we keep bringing up, that might preclude an Austin extension, even if Cooper comes in on a 1-year deal. I don't know. But, yeah.
It doesn't affect Watt at all, zero.
Well, so this is the low-hanging fruit that immediately everybody jumps on. Deshaun Elliott got an extension. How's TJ Watt feel about that? They got Deshaun Elliott done before they got him done. Well, here's a thought.
Just a thought. Compared to 40.
Yeah, first of all, the money's completely different. Second of all, maybe TJ isn't in a rush to sign his. You know, there's a thought out there, and I don't think – I'm not saying he doesn't want to sign in Pittsburgh and that he doesn't want it done before the season, if not before training camp, if they can get it done before training camp. But there's another thing going on in the league, and that's that Micah Parsons is going to break the bank at some point this summer. He's going to sign the biggest defensive contract in NFL history, we presume, with the Dallas Cowboys. So we keep talking about, is TJ going to get more than Myles Garrett? Is that maybe what he's holding out for? Maybe TJ's looking as much at Micah Parsons and waiting to see what he gets to see how, look, the Garrett deal already reset the edge rusher market, the linebacker market, once this offseason. The Parsons deal is going to do it again. It's going to push the thing even farther out. And maybe TJ's waiting for that shoe to drop. His agent is waiting for that shoe to drop so that they can push for even more money in his extension.
I don't know how much the total amount of money really means anything. I don't think he's looking at Micah Parsons, because I don't even view those two as playing the same position. That's sort of like Le'Veon Bell wanting to get paid as a wide receiver and a running back. Oh, okay, that's nice and all, but it just doesn't seem like how it works, really. So I don't really compare those two. I don't think he's that interested in being the highest paid guy. I think I keep going back to it. I think he wants to be some security, the guaranteed money. And if he gets paid more than Myles Garrett by a buck, whatever. I think that's more of an issue than anything else. But we don't know. I mean, with JJ throwing out, well, you could have got it done earlier. I mean, I don't think that matters. I don't think it really, really matters to him. Who cares if he got it done earlier or later? Who cares if he gets it done now or January or whatever, September 9th? As long as you feel comfortable with that number, and if it's up to the Steelers, maybe they did offer him something to the point where he says, let's just hold off a little bit. I'm just going to hold out anyways, hold in anyways. So, I mean, you could be on to something where he just said, I'm not going to risk myself anyways. Also, let's see how this plays out.
Exactly.
Then I mean, more stroke here, more play on this negotiations. I mean, I don't view him as a guy that would do something like that, but a lot of times it's out of his control too. If the agent says, hey, that's what we're doing.
I'm saying. Like, agents like to make more money for their players, because then
what did he do last time? I mean, he denied it, but TJ said, hey, go in there and get it done now.
And and I imagine we might get to that point again, right? Where TJ gets deep into training camp and says, listen, let's just get this done. I'm tired of sitting around. I'm tired of holding in, or maybe it's a hold out this year. Who knows? But the agent wants to make as much money as possible because he makes as much money as possible. Then it also looks better for his business, right? Yeah. If he can get TJ Watt a deal that's on par with Garrett and whatever Parsons might get when he extends with the Cowboys, that looks a whole hell of a lot better than he's sitting there on that second tier, if you want to call it that, with, say, Max Crosby. And I think I wouldn't blame anybody for doing that. I just think it's an interesting point that people haven't thought of. I haven't heard it brought up a lot. And that, again, the low-hanging fruit of, well, Deshaun Elliott got a deal. What's TJ? TJ doesn't care about Deshaun Elliott's deal. Like, that has, like you said, the money is so different that it has no impact. TJ is the kind of player that has his eye on what's going on, or at least his agent has an eye on what's going on around the rest of the league, not just what's going on in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm just shocked that even a team like Dallas has enough money. They got plenty of money underneath the cap. So, I mean, when you're paying Dak Prescott,
well, $60 million a year.
His guarantee, well, what is it? His cap number is 50 this year. Parsons, well, is obviously 24. A guy named Terrence Steele, I'm going to have to look him up. I'm not too familiar with his work, I'm sure, but he's getting $18 million. CeeDee Lamb, 15. I mean, there's some guys that are getting paid there as well, but they do have enough money to be able to add him underneath the cap. So I don't think that's the issue, but I know you're a big Micah Parsons fan for obvious reasons.
We are.
I don't think he's a $40 million player. The only thing that makes him maybe a $40 million player is that he's what, 26?
He's younger than everybody else we're talking about in the edge rusher
market.
That's
huge. I mean, that pushes him over the top. Let me see how old he is.
And he's also versatile enough, Kaboom, that he doesn't just line up as an edge rusher, right? He's all over the field. Yeah. And
sometimes that hurts you, though. So you don't have those big numbers. He didn't have big sack numbers.
No, but I don't think anybody would argue that Micah Parsons as is impactful on a game on the defensive side of the ball as Myles Garrett or TJ Watt is.
Yeah.
If but not more so.
Just saying, hey, look at this stats, man. It just doesn't add up to what Myles Garrett and TJ Watt's playing. Then you have to argue back and forth, but he does something like Le'Veon. Okay, you're not a wide receiver. You don't run wide receiver routes, but look at my numbers. I had 85 catches, so I should be paid like both of them. It's just sometimes that's counterproductive to be able to do that. You just basically look at stats and try to find the net value. That's why probably this is hard, because you crunch all these numbers together and it spits out a number. This is your market value. That probably doesn't apply to Micah Parsons because he doesn't have the out-of-the-world stats. But he means so much to the team. He could have out-of-the-world stats if they put him in position to do that.
Well, and he's also in a place where if you put enough pressure on the owner, he will cave. He will give you what you want. Like, we're talking a very different situation in Dallas from Pittsburgh.
You're talking about a team that's feeling the pressure. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, and they did it to themselves by giving Prescott the amount of money that he did. So now Micah Parsons and the Parsons Prescott online beef between the families anyway has been well noted, but like Parsons is going to walk in, or his agent's going to walk in and say, you're telling me Micah isn't as important to the team as Dak? And Jerry's going to go, well, now wait, that's not what I'm saying. He's going to go all foghorn leghorn. Now see what I say it was. And you know, he's going to end up giving Micah north of 45. I wouldn't be surprised. Per year to get him in that Dak neighborhood. And so Micah Parsons and his agent can feel good.
TJ, though? Say Micah comes out tomorrow and then like we're giving him 45 average a year. Mm-hmm. You think TJ goes, oh, time out. You got to up it now.
TJ, like you said, but his agent. His agent's going to say, guys,
how does this affect the Steelers?
How's that affect the Steelers?
If he comes out with his asinine number and he signs for it, does TJ say, okay, let's reevaluate this now? Or does that push him more closer to the 40 that the Myles Garrett's getting?
If the market gets reset, then you've got to say, hey, that just happened, and this is the price you pay. You referenced JJ and what he had to say a couple weeks ago. This is the price you pay for not getting it done earlier. Had you gotten it done 4 months ago, we wouldn't be talking about Myles Garrett's deal. We wouldn't be talking about Micah Parsons' prospective deal.
I mean, if he's going to hold out or hold in, why not play this game from January 10th or whenever the season was over on? This is my last year. I'm going to hold out until everybody's in the books, and then I'm going to say, hey, I want more money than all this. Maybe this was a plan altogether. Maybe when Jay is talking about is maybe last year, but we know how that happens. I mean, they're not going to do that. I mean, that's just like, you know, screaming at the trees or something. You're just going to be staring at you, man. That's not going to happen. So I don't know why you're complaining about that when you know it doesn't happen. But this could be a plan moving forward, even with some of the bigger guys on the roster. I don't even know who would be considered a next guy with a big extension or whatever. Why not wait, hold in, and wait till the market plays out? Then, okay, I'll sign September 9th.
Yeah.
Maximize my profitability.
Especially when you know that, for example, the Micah Parsons extension has to get done before the season also. It becomes, you know, we've sort of positioned it here in Pittsburgh and among Steeler fans as this game of chicken between the Steelers and TJ Watt, when in reality it's as much a game of chicken between Parsons and Watt and the Steelers and the Cowboys about, okay, if we get this done sooner, are we blinking in the case of Parsons and Watt? If we're the team, if we wait too long, are we going to get screwed in the case of the Steelers and Cowboys because the other team signs the other guy for X amount of dollars and that raises the level of the market? So it is, it's like a weird four-way game of chicken. It's not just Watt and the Steelers. You really do have to keep an eye on Parsons and the Cowboys and what they do. Even if they give them something ridiculous, it still raises the value of the entire market at that position. And TJ Watt and his agent, in my opinion anyway, would be crazy not to use that to their advantage if they can.
Yeah, you know, not even looking at the Steelers, this might be the last time they have to do this for a while. What type of generational player do you they have on the roster right now and coming up in 2 or 3 years? Probably nobody. No. I mean, if you look at the guys like Fatanu, Broderick Jones, and Zach Frazier, those aren't generational players. Those guys aren't going to make, you know, 50, 40, 50 million bucks. Metcalf's already making the money. You're not going to pay your wide receiver. You don't have a quarterback. I mean, there's nobody on the defense that's going to stand out to make huge money that I see of. I mean, the next thing you're looking at is maybe 5-6 years down the road, if a quarterback they draft and they want to extend him, you know, a second contract because he's their franchise player. So this is the last time they're going to probably have to go through this shenanigans for a while.
Do you think Cam Hayward's going to sign one more deal? Because he's this next year will be the last year of his current deal as well.
I wouldn't put anything past anything. I mean,
it's going to be 38 at that point.
Yeah, I asked him something about that the other day, you know, and he says, oh, I don't even compare myself with some of the other guys' age, but I'm like, Cam, dude, because I think I asked him if he views himself as a Hall of Famer. Do you ever get bored and look up your numbers compared to other guys? He goes, well, there's other old guys here. I'm like, yeah, you know, there were some other old defensive linemen, but nobody's playing at a level that you have either is right now. So I think if he still feels healthy, I think he would. I don't know they would go year to year. I don't think he would want to go to year to year. They would do something. What is this? Last year is he got two. He got two left. This year and next year.
This year, next year. So next summer.
I can see them next year tacking on it. If he wants to play, hey, let's tack on another year.
Well, next summer could be really interesting because you'd also have Patrick Queen and Minka to talk about.
Yeah,
and
but those aren't generational.
They're not generational talents, but Minka's on a $23 million deal right now. Patrick Queen's on a $17 or $18 million deal, I think it is. So
I think you have a better chance of Minka getting cut than getting a $40 million deal next year or whatever. I don't even know what the trying to look up here who the highest paid safety is right now is.
Would be Kirby. Hold on, somebody Joseph. Just signed a deal this year, didn't they?
Kirby Joseph is there's making no way 21 he's... a year, according to this.
Hold on, no, that can't be right. That can't be the it's highest
paid. Safety contracts, full contract.
Jeez,
Antoine Winfield, 21.
Winfield, that's who I was thinking of.
They're about 21. They have Minka as 18. So you think he's what is he 30 yet? I believe he is.
He will be.
Yeah, he's 29. Well, I won't be 30 again, but we'll be 30. I don't think he's a guy that's going to get 25, you know, 3 for 80 in the next.
I mean, if he pops off and has a big year this year, like, you know, is picking off passes and making big plays again, which he hasn't done in a couple of years.
Daniel Wright, I think he's a offensive lineman for the forget who.
what does that have to do with anything?
Oh, well, I'm just saying Trey Hendrickson. You talk about a team that I don't know where they're finding money at. I just think that they're just talking just to get people off their backs. I don't know. I don't know, man. If Hendrickson wants 40, I don't know what you're doing. Your entire salary cap's with four guys. It's like, you're not going to win crap with that.
But if you backload these things, and look, the average annual is always a big number. The total money, the guaranteed money is always the three most important numbers we talk about, right? But if you backload these things, the cap keeps growing so quickly that, you know, you get 2 years down the road, and all of a sudden, Burrow, Chase, Higgins, and Hendrickson on big fat deals isn't necessarily nearly as impactful as it is in the moment when you sign it.
I wonder if Daniel Wright's related to Alex Wright. You remember him? The wrestler from WCW. He's the one that always used to dance like this.
Yeah.
Love Alex Wright. Now he's like a lineman for the Browns or something, isn't he?
Had a nice feud with Disco Inferno.
Mm,
remember Disco that? Inferno. They'd have dance-offs in the middle of the ring.
Wasn't the Goldberg one of Disco Inferno's first
Disco was one of Goldberg's first victories. Yeah.
It wasn't the first one. That was
half of them. Didn't we decide half of them were just kind of made up?
Yeah. I think, speaking of Alex Wright, he's bald now. He's bald. But I think the first one was, what's his name? Hugh Morris.
Yeah.
Goldberg's first one. And he beat him like 18 times.
Speaking of Goldberg, real quick,
I should have looked that up.
Yeah, go ahead. Look up the Goldberg one loss record and the legitimacy of it. You called it, though, like a month ago, that Goldberg...
I don't think I was, like, looking into tea leaves. It made tons of sense, right?
Right, because they have the Saturday night's main event in Atlanta next week or 3 weeks from now.
I didn't expect him to be having the title shot.
You think it'll be for the title?
They said right now he has 326 wins and 35 losses.
I'd love to know who's tracking that.
Wait. Let me see here.
Vince Russo in his basement. That's another win.
322. No, now total number of wins of singles matches is 291.
Okay.
That's a heck of a lot of matches.
He's not moving the most smoothly. You see him with that little...
Like walking like me.
He's walking like he just got off a horse coming down the ramp there. That match is that's going to be interesting. There's not going to be a lot of pace in that match.
When did he lose to Nash or whoever his name at the time?
Would have been 99.
It's only a year, right?
Yeah, it wasn't long because Nash took over booking and put himself over.
Let's see whose first match win was.
You
brought it up, not me.
Well, I didn't think you were going to crawl down the rabbit hole of looking up Bill Goldberg's game log, match log. Where do you even go to look this up? What site are you even on?
It's called cagematch.net. They got everything. I don't know if it's, I'm guessing it's not made up. If it was, that'd be very disappointing. First match, Bill Goldberg. I didn't even know.
Real to me, damn it.
Set Monday Nitro. It's a dark match. Bill Goldberg defeats Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. Wait a second here.
What?
Saturday night TV taping, dark match. July 8th, 1997. Chad Fortune defeats Bill Goldberg. So it's all baloney.
It's all fake. We knew this.
Bill Goldberg defeats Hugh Morris on...
Okay. We don't have to go through match by match every Bill Goldberg match in late 97, Morris, early 98.
Barbarian, Roadblock, Manny Fernandez, Scotty Riggs, Mike Anthony.
Okay, thank you.
He beat Wrath in 20 seconds.
Walked out, did the spear, pinned him, bang, done. Bingo, bango. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, I guess,
Let's just hope he doesn't kick
Gunther in the face like he did Bret Hart.
Speaking of that, I saw some videos of Bret Hart. I walk better than him, too. but he's probably, his dad probably broke his legs in the dungeon. But let's just hope they don't put the belt on him.
No, they can't.
They could put the belt on him and have Seth take it off him. I just hope that doesn't happen.
Right, but like he wouldn't have a legitimate reign. Like he wouldn't come back on Monday after winning the belt and face somebody else. Maybe. Like he's 58, isn't he? 56, 58. Like they're not doing all
about
that.
This now, or are we just waiting? Because I got some opinions about the Goldberg stuff.
Okay, well then give me the Goldberg opinions.
Well, my Goldberg opinion is, I'm absolutely fine with the retirement match. That's fine. Nice.
Yeah.
Perfect. But, man, can you come up with a storyline? He just shows up after 8 months and said, you disrespected my family in October. Let's fight.
Yeah, what? Basically. That's it.
We couldn't come up with anything better than this unless, I don't know. I thought they could do something a little bit more creative.
Well, look. I've told you how I feel about Gunther before. I've come around on him a little bit.
He is a star.
He's a very good old school heel, right? Like he's very easy to hate. You know, no high flying moves. He puts guys in a sleeper. It's the kind of stuff that like you go, okay, yeah, this is fun. If you weren't, if you hadn't had a 4-month program with Jey Uso, I don't know if he'd have nearly as much heat. He's going up against one of the three most popular guys in the business right now. So naturally, he's very easy for the crowd to hate.
You would be surprised, but the Gunther Goldberg is very similar. At least their WWE or WCW at this time, their path. Not many people have beaten Gunther.
This much is true.
Five, maybe six losses in his career since he moved up. I mean, one of them was Jey Uso, but not Jey Uso. One of them was Sami Zayn, but he hasn't lost much, and he's held the title for about 700, 800 days.
Well, okay.
The heavyweight title.
Maybe they're going to slow play this a little bit since they do have 3 weeks between Goldberg showing up on Monday and the Saturday night's main event in Atlanta. And at some point in the next week, 10 days, we'll get Goldberg come out again, or maybe Gunther comes out and calls out Goldberg and Gunther points all that out. But I would have liked to have seen it happen on Monday night where Gunther, rather than looking scared, Gunther never looks scared. Why is he scared all of a sudden? He shouldn't be scared of Goldberg. He should have stood there and told him, listen, you think you're so great because you won so many matches and without losing in your winning streak, I held the Intercontinental title for da-da-da-da days and the World Heavyweight Championship for so many days. I'm not scared of you. That would have been classic Gunther. Instead, they had him like back out of the ring.
I didn't have Bischoff as my best buddy.
Right. And then
I wasn't a gimmick. I'm not a gimmick like you.
And then Goldberg could have said something like, yeah, well, you didn't have Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash holding you down either, brother. And
well, this could be where they're going.
A little bit of mic work maybe between the two, rather than just Goldberg coming out, like you said, saying, you disrespected my family, and Gunther backing away and wriggling out of the ring.
I'm pretty sure that they will expand this storyline in the next couple. That makes it at least make sense. But the day one arrival, the big pop, the oh my goodness, Goldberg just left a lot, not just me, and left a lot of people flat. Like, well, what's this all about? But they can recover, I think. We got plenty of time to make it interesting, I think. Plus, it's Saturday night main events. What do you want? You want Goldberg. You want tons of eyes on NBC, Peacock, whatever, on a Saturday night in what, July? Was it July 12th? I don't even know what day it is.
Something like that.
So it makes sense of when it is. But I would have liked to have seen a little bit more explanation here.
Yeah, that left me wanting just a little
bit. Plus, everybody hates Goldberg, so, you know, the true fans, I hate Goldberg.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just don't know what you do with Gunther. What do you do with him next after he beats Goldberg in a retirement match? What's next for him?
They have been, you remember the spiel of him being questioning himself. I was always down poo-pooing that. What is this? Why would Gunther be afraid and be questioning himself?
No.
I was like, what in the world is this gimmick?
Doesn't make any sense. He needs to go out there and tell everyone how great he is and how he's the best champion ever.
Poor Liv, man. Ugh.
Yeah, That was painful for those of you that maybe missed Monday Night Raw, or maybe you fast forward, caught it later and fast forwarded through the commercial breaks. There's a chance you completely missed Liv Morgan dislocating her shoulder. Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know. That could screw some things up because they got a
probably did
a decent little thing building between her and Roxanne Perez and Dominic.
It definitely back to the drawing table. Yeah, it's back to hey, we got to throw this away now. Well, it depends on how bad the shoulder was. If it's dislocated, you pop it back in, right? But if there's some tearing, I'm sure there's some stretching or tearing going on there. But I mean, she's so small, diminutive. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
You tend to get hurt on very simple. I mean, you don't even have to be small, man. You jump off the goddamn apron and hurt your knee. But
or go flying, go flying off the apron into the table and puncture a lung like J.D. McDonough did.
Yeah, I mean, or you could fly off the top of the cage and just get up and be fine. You know, doesn't matter.
Dr. Bully on the case.
I do feel bad for Liv because I thought she's very talented, but hopefully it's not too long.
So before we get Yoey in here, we got to thank our good friends at Impact HVAC. Doing a great job maintaining your AC because it's 75 degrees, 80 degrees out, but it feels like it's 115 because of the humidity. You want your AC working correctly this time of year. Impact HVAC, the people to call. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or give them a call at 412-297-1852. They'll come out, they'll check it, make sure everything's working well. They'll repair it if it needs to be repaired, replace it if it needs to be replaced. And same thing goes in the dead of winter when the furnace goes kaput. They will make sure you get taken care of. Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852. We thank them for sponsoring Kabali and Mac as well. So Yoey is doing his thing where he shows up a few minutes late. In this case, a few is 10, maybe 15. We'll see when he actually jumps on.
Maybe he's blowing us off.
Maybe. This might be payback. This could be payback for when I inadvertently blew him off. Was it last week? I don't think Yoey's vindictive like that, though.
He was on last night. I was watching his podcast with Joey
Bartnick.
Joey Bartnick. And Yoey's hair was kind of out of control. And I made
it was like 11:30 at night. What do you want from him? You want him to go get his hair done?
Well, he needs to. Maybe he's dying it. Maybe he's doing it just for men right now. Maybe
why do you always crush him for that?
Because he always tells a story. It's not just me. He goes, he goes to Giant Eagle. Who buys Just for Men at Giant Eagle? Right?
That's somebody has to be buying it. That's why they're selling it.
Well, you don't go to, if you have to go buy Just for Men, you're not going to Giant Eagle. You're going to Walmart, Target, Amazon. There's a good chance that Yoey doesn't even know how to use Amazon. There's a very good chance.
Really?
Yeah. You think I'm bad with this stuff?
This stuff.
Oh, there's all this stuff here. Man, he's not the very tech friendly himself.
You know what we should do? Real quick while we're waiting for Yoey, we should do an NBA minute. That's what we should do.
I don't think I have anything.
You don't have anything? Are you kidding me?
Well, I got maybe. I mean, I didn't think too much of it. Man, you put me on the spot here with the NBA minute.
Well, I think we could just talk about the NBA for it. Tyrese Haliburton might not play in game six, Kaboom. And
if you want to model your organization, say the Pittsburgh Pirates, off of a model organization of how to do it right, I think it would be the Oklahoma City Thunder. They totally dismantled the team, 10, 15 years ago. They traded everything possible that wasn't nailed down. It may have taken some time, but now they're the best team in the league for that. Can Major League Baseball do the same thing? I don't know.
So you want the Pirates? What do the Pirates have to trade besides Paul Skeens?
Everything.
And they're not. And they should not do that in a million years.
Get rid of PNC Park and get some players for that or something. I don't know. Go play it.
Go play in Greenfield.
Falcone Field.
I do think you have to ask the question of why they did not continue to use TJ McConnell more down the stretch when Haliburton was struggling.
It happened a lot, right, with NBA coaches. It's like, what are you doing?
like McConnell had a huge third quarter.
I wasn't ready, Justin, so I was thrown at me. I didn't prepare for my NBA minute.
There's no reason you put TJ McConnell back on the bench when he has a third quarter like he does. I'm not just saying this because he's a yinzer. No. I'm just saying anybody steps in when Halliburton is less than 100% and has, what do you have, 2 points in the first half? He didn't score until late in the second quarter.
He's clearly not himself.
McConnell is on fire in the third quarter, and you roll Halliburton back out there and sit TJ down. Eventually, Carlisle got around to having both of them on the floor later in the fourth quarter. But what are we doing? Like, TJ McConnell, if Halliburton is less than 100% tomorrow night, TJ's out there all 48 minutes. I don't care. He's TJ McConnell. I get it. He's not going to take over the game for an entire game. But if you're struggling with Halliburton out, the only answer is leave McConnell on the floor.
Yeah, it tends to happen from time to time in the NBA. That's something I can't think of one just recently that did something very similar to that. They left him on the bench the whole fourth quarter. But I can almost guarantee you that Halliburton's playing tonight.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah, they got 2 days off between games.
So tomorrow night. I can guarantee it. I mean, they have stuff to fill that thing quickly. Well, mask that stuff quickly. He will play. And knowing him.
Yeah, but if his calf pops up big, in the middle of the first quarter and he can't go back out there because he can't even jog, let alone run up and down the floor. Again, we're talking about a team that likes to use pace and move up and down the floor quickly to take advantage of transition. Mm-hmm. Then you can't have Halliburton walking the ball up the floor. Like that's not an advantage for you if you're the Pacers.
I think what's the number, like 4.5, 5? I like my chances at the Pacers on this one.
Really? Even with Halliburton less than 100%.
Now going back to OKC City for game 7 might be
a different story. Tall
task, but I like seeing teams like OKC City. Our good friend Thomas Chapman, a former Steelers PR guy during the COVID years.
He's in OKC now. City.
He's a big OKC guy, so I didn't know that. But having those teams, it's, a lot of times you don't want to see the Dodgers and the Yankees, you know? So it's okay to see that.
Yeah.
Thunder and the Pacers.
Give me a change of pace. I'm okay with that.
Billy Chitwood out there. I wonder how old he is. He'll make it. Jimmy Chitwood, not Billy. Jimmy Chitwood.
Oh my God, my phone's completely frozen. This damn app. What is the line on that game? Because now you have me. Five.
What's going on with Yoey?
He's completely blowing us off. He's giving us the old Belfont snorkel. I'm going to text him right now.
Oh, well.
I mean, I did it to him last week, so it's only fair.
Yeah, plus he tried to get me on after Aaron Rodgers, and I already committed to something else. I'm like,
We both blew him off.
Well, I said, if you waited 10 minutes, I can do it, but they were going live. I'm like,
yeah, if you're giving me 6.5.
While we're at it, let's forget that. Why can't we do the Pony League Trophy, Ross Draver Rams?
What else do you want to talk about with your Ross Draver Rams Pony League Trophy? I
scored 33 runs, man. Woo!
You're what? You ever put this 12-year-old self is impressing your current self?
No, this is like 14.
14, whatever.
15. Who abbreviates average AVE, by the way?
Nobody.
Old man Proch.
Was that your coach? Was that Skipper?
I don't think he liked me.
No? Why not?
We were fooling around one time.
You run your mouth a lot?
No. I just hit dingers. But he one time he told us, we were fooling around and he didn't like it. And he said that we got boy power. He got man power or something like that. And we just made fun of that for the next 25 years. Then I see the same guy. He goes, yeah, I got man power. I'm like, okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of this Penguins crap. Even if Yoey's not going to log on.
Yoey.
He's not going to. I texted him. He hasn't answered. So we'll just presume.
That's the truth.
We'll just presume that Yoey's blowing us off.
We're struggling here today.
No, we're not. He had the story the other day. Maybe you are living in the past with your Pony League trophy and your Super Bowl 43 mini ball. He wrote this story. This will be Evgeny Malkin's last year as a Pittsburgh Penguin, regardless of whether he wants to play more or not. That sounds like something that, and Josh isn't going to tell us, but that sounds like something he would have gotten from Dubas while he was up there at the combine talking to him.
I could pretend like I'm Josh. Listen. He's a great player. I think he just wants to go back to Russia.
I don't think he wants to go back to Russia. I think he wants to hang out in South Florida.
He just wants to go to Russia. His family's from Russia. I think he wants to play in front of his home crowd. Something like what Yager did in there late in his career. That didn't sound like Yoey, did it?
That didn't sound like Yoey at all. Justin's got an interesting theory, though. Maybe some breaking Penguins news is about to happen, and Yoey's hunting it down right now.
No, that ain't happening. He's probably still sleeping.
Yeah, that's probably it. But the Panthers, I said this last night, the Panthers won the cup each of these last 2 years by virtue of the fact that they beat a team, the Oilers, each year in the cup final and a couple teams along the way each postseason that had maybe more speed and skill than them, but they just, this is an old cliched hockey term, but grit and perseverance and determination and character and all that stuff. You find out that Matthew Tkachuk was playing with his adductor muscle torn off the bone and a hernia. And I'm not going to go down the road of, oh, those hockey players. That's great. It's more about the fact that that's just the personality of that team. All that speed and skill. In the wake of the Penguins winning back-to-back cups in 2016 and 2017, and you also had teams like the Blackhawks and the Kings a few years before that, in the wake of all that, the response from most of the league was to simply load up on speed and skill. And that's great. You want guys who can skate. You want guys that can score. I totally understand. You want those guys. You need those guys. But what you also saw a bit in the way the Lightning built their back-to-back cup teams 5 years ago, and very much so in the way the Panthers built their teams over the last 2 or 3 years, is that speed and skill that you know you're going to face in the playoffs, that you need to have a good amount of, doesn't mean jack shit if you don't have the grit and the character built into it as well. You can't simply, like the old Mike Sullivan philosophy of turn the other cheek and let's just put your head down and play hockey. I don't think we very quickly aged out of that. It doesn't work. You can't simply put your head down when somebody's trying to bury you in front of the net or in the corner and say, well, I'll just skate around them. The Penguins were able to do that for a few years. And I think that wave very quickly passed, and you have to acknowledge that you have to have guys like Tkachuk, Bennett, Marchand. You have to have guys like that if you're going to win a cup, because come the second round of the playoffs, the conference finals, the cup final, if you don't have those kind of guys, you know what you are? You're the Oilers. You're McDavid and Dreisaitl and Nugent Hopkins and everybody else, and you're just not mentally tough enough. You're not built to withstand this team that just won't die and just won't go away.
I mean, you sort of like described the 90s Penguins there too when they won their first couple of cups there. They had some grit determination with some of those guys, the Alfies of the world and even right. The Stevens of the world when you brought Tocchet in. The guys, but you know, you just can't have guys that are one-dimensional either. They have to be able to play some hockey too.
No, but that's my point is Tkachuk, Bennett, I'll cite him again. Those are the kind of guys, Marchand, look at some of the goals that were scored by these guys during the playoffs and the cup final in particular. They have the skill, but they have to also have the ability to, like I said, rise up from adversity. And I just don't get that sense from the Oilers at all in particular over the last 2 years. And there are a lot of teams built like that, I think, around the league right now where they just presume, you know, well, we'll just skate around them. And that doesn't work anymore. The Panthers have showed you over the last 3 years and the Lightning the 2 years before that, when they would constantly turn over their third line wings and depth players, that you have to have guys that can play that way, that have that grit, that somebody does not, when they jump over the boards and they see that guy come out from the other bench, they're like, oh shit, I gotta skate against this guy again. Like, you think Evander Kane has the mental toughness? No, he's exactly the kind of guy who you bring him in because he can score, you bring him in because he can skate and he's offensively gifted, but the moment things get tough, he melts down. And you simply can't win with guys like that anymore.
He reminds me of a big defenseman this Penguins got maybe last year.
Eric Carlson.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to give – I mean, that's all part of it. But I think you got to give that front office credit, man. See what they did at the deadline. They're like, okay, man, this is our shot. Let's go get some of those players. I mean, who knew that Marchand could still play? I thought he was freaking done.
You take a guy like that, as much as everybody in every city outside of Boston and Miami hates Brad Marchand, like, that's the guy you love to have on your team. You just absolutely love it because you put him out there and the exact reaction you get from the opposition is, like I just said, you get, oh, Christ, I got to skate against this guy. Come on, you're killing me. And it completely affects the way the other side plays. They don't want to go in the corners. They don't want to go in front of the net. They've got to think about somebody finishing their hits against them. And Edmonton wasn't ready to play that way.
Sounds like your dog disagrees with you.
Maybe. I don't know.
You got a little mutt, right?
We've been over this. We have a little froofy dog. Oh, it's a Shih Tzu Bichon mix.
Just get a parrot then. You're going to have one of those suckers. You know what else the Florida Panthers have something pretty good of? Something the Penguins don't have? A goalie.
Yeah, I mean,
sort of like a quarterback in the NFL. You're probably only as good as your goalie to a degree. You're only as good as your quarterback to a degree. Very similar positions, very similar worth, I think. You're not going to win with a bum in between the pipes.
No, look at Edmonton. Stu Skinner was a disaster.
Well, his name is Stu. What do you expect?
Stuart.
If you call himself Stu.
I don't think he calls himself Stu.
I think you know, put it this way. If it's Stu, I think I like beef stew.
Okay.
Stu Hart.
He was a badass. Yeah. You going to make fun of Stu Hart?
No, because he's been dead for a while. He could probably still kick my ass.
He would crawl up from the grave and beat your ass.
I think I'd like to see Bret Hart come back and just jump in the ring with Goldberg.
That would be awful.
That'll be great.
Neither one of them can move.
No, anymore. I'm just talking about, you know, squaring off and just talking or something. I'm sure Bret Hart needs some cash.
Well, they do have that Sergei Mirashov, the Russian kid. He's 21. Yeah. They really like him. But that's the thing with Dubas is, you mentioned Carlson. Those two contracts he handed out, a year and a half ago now, to Carlson and Jari, have completely hamstrung.
I don't know if I even blame Dubas for this, because Dubas was almost under directive of build for the future, but win now. How in the world? It's either one or the other, man.
Well, look, the Carlson deal at the time we all liked, so I can't bury him too much for it. I do think we're seeing the effect of a player who doesn't really care. I don't want to say doesn't care, but like isn't. Erik Karlsson, I don't get the sense, is going to break down in tears if they don't go to the playoffs. He's there to play hockey and make money.
Where's he from, Sweden?
I just don't think
he's on the beach in Sweden right now, or Finland.
Do they have beaches in Sweden?
I'm sure they do. Everybody, I mean, Erie has a beach, for God's sakes.
But he's not the kind of guy, like I talked about with Tkachuk and Bennett and Marchand, that is going to go out there and make the other team go, oh, I got to skate against Carlson. No, they're going to go, oh, Carlson, maybe he'll hand me the puck.
Olfie. But I loved Olfie back in the day. When Olfie, I played deck hockey, ball hockey back in my youth, I wore number 5.
Every kid in Western PA in the early 90s who liked football but also liked hockey wanted to be Ulf Samuelsson. Yes. That's just a fact.
Yes, he's a monster.
He was. He was a linebacker on skates.
Well, then you up the ante a little bit and you throw Artie in there, and he's a unbelievably talented player who's a linebacker on skates.
If only Rich Pilon hadn't happened. Anyway, back to my point here. Dubas has been hamstrung by those two contracts. Those are the two big ones that have absolutely killed him. He can't get out from underneath the Jarry contract. I know it's only $5 million a year, and as the cap grows, that's not as big a deal, but you can't just throw that money away. Jarry's useless. Well, you're not going anywhere with him.
He told us about that last time he was on. What happened there?
About right.
It felt, what the hell? I didn't really want to sign him, but I didn't really have much other options.
It was a terrible offseason for goalies. So, goalies, you made the comparison to, a quarterback. I'll make the comparison to closers in baseball. They do not have long shelf lives, usually. Really great goalies, right? They're like a closer. They come in, they're great for a couple of years, and then they flame out, and you're on to the next guy. And for the most part, that's what you have to plan for. Like, I don't want to say you expect it, but you plan for it. Sergei Mirochkov may be a great young goaltender. You may have no choice, given the way he plays in camp, the preseason, and early in the year, but to make him your starter by Christmas. And if that's the case, that's great. Maybe he gets hot, he carries you for a while. I mean, this team's not going anywhere this year anyway. But my point is, he could be hot for a couple of years and then flames out all over again. I don't think you can build around giving goaltenders five-year contracts, is my point. Well, and that, just as much as the Carlson deal, is a massive problem for them.
I think you got to give his agent credit for knowing the situation at that point. But, the grand scheme of things here is, obviously, this is a rebuild. You're going to see a lot of people next year that you really don't know of. And this team has pretty much won for, 40 years now, give or take? Yeah. How is that going to be accepted when this team is just god-awful for a couple years? You're going to say, who's this? Who's this? I don't know who this is. Maybe Crosby alleviates that a little bit.
Yeah. And look, there is – I don't know if there was a plan to this from anybody or not, but there is something to, I'm going to go see Gino one last time, right? Like, he's not what he once was, but...
Is that where we're at? We're at, let's go see a player rather than let's go see the Penguins?
Ugh. Well, no, you laid it out perfectly.
Well, I'm just saying,
I don't know who, there's 25 guys on the roster.
Judge. I don't know who the Pirates.
I don't know who 20 of them are, but we've still got Sid. And it's Gino's last year. I'm going to head down to the rink on a Tuesday night in December when maybe I normally wouldn't. You know?
Like, cheap tickets.
Yeah. You're going to see a lot of empty seats this year. That's going to happen, unfortunately. And look, you got to get through it. This was not going to last forever. It just wasn't. It didn't, I don't know if it's not going to be as bad as, the X generation and the Rico Fatta years and Ramsey.
Why Rico Fatta always gets
Joseph dark. Melikar. Because
when you talk about those years, it's always like Rico Fatta.
Fatta, it's Ramsey Abid, and it's I used to call him old Cinder Blocks Joe because he skated like his feet were stuck in cinder blocks. Joseph Melikar. It's those guys. It's not going to be that bad.
Who was the goalie in that years?
They were all over the place.
What's his name?
He was well. It was Moose Hedberg up through 2001, but I'm thinking more like right after that. So between, man, you're going to make me go back and look now. Hold on.
You're the Penguins guy, man. You should know this.
No, it was like a revolving door, though, between Hedberg and Fleury. There was the Jocelyn Thibault sighting at one point. Jean-Sebastien Aubin. Who else? Aubin for a while. Then there was, like I said, Thibault right after the lockout or right around the lockout. Oh, who else am I forgetting? Sebastian Caron. I mean, it was a revolving door of just middling goaltenders.
We are soft.
They're so soft.
I think everybody except Maxime Talbot, some maybe.
What would they say if I take half their salary? Because they only want to play half the time. It's still the greatest rant.
That was contrived, too. I think he was going up there with all the intentions.
He had a plan.
Yeah.
So that is up there with Denny Green. They are who we thought they were. That is up there with, you remember the old video of Hal McRae chucking the phone across the office?
He hit the dude in the face and he was bleeding. Yeah.
that is up there with those two. In not so much that it's like out and out screaming, but just the seething anger from Michelle Therrien. And he just keeps going and going.
The dicker one was, what's it to you? You're in a bad mood, huh, Mike? What's up to you? Next.
All right.
I think Flowers snapped on John Stagra one time.
Who did?
Really? You need to ask that question. you've probably seen it before.
I'm sure I have. We've all had our moments. What's the worst somebody's ever snapped on you?
Probably Harrison Debo.
But he was like that quiet seething rage that I was just talking about.
Well, nobody's going to.
Nobody's ever yelled at you?
Debo didn't like me. Who else? Emmanuel Sanders. Mike Wallace. Right now, it's just like, I mean, I won't say he doesn't like you. He doesn't like anybody. It's Sam Alu. He just goes,
he just doesn't want to. Samoan werewolf just doesn't want to talk. I don't blame him.
You know, he has seven kids.
Seven?
I
wouldn't want to talk to anybody either if I had seven kids running
around. No, I'm talking about Jacob Batu.
Oh. No, I didn't know that. Good to know, though. All right. Yoey blew us off. Maybe we'll get him on Friday. Friday, we're going to do it a little bit earlier because I got to get my kid to a softball tournament by 11 o'clock. So we'll do it a little earlier.
Car, by the way?
What's that?
Did you ever get her a car?
Not yet, no.
I thought that was the big thing. No, well, Yoey's hungover. That's the funniest thing ever.
Why is that funny?
Yoey gets a beer because he's afraid to, when everybody else is drinking, he just gets a beer and it's a Corona, and he just holds it.
He doesn't drink it at all?
No. He's like Donald Trump. He's never drank beer in his life. No, he doesn't. He does not. I've never seen him drunk. I've never even seen him drink more than a half a beer, maybe. And he
really?
Peer pressure.
Hold on. Oh, geez.
Uh-oh.
Just texted me back 2 minutes ago. So sorry. Hurt my ankle at the gym. Getting an x-ray. Tell Kabali. We'll make for good on-air fodder.
First of all, there ain't no... Wait. You know I'm the king of pictures, right?
Yeah.
If I could find this picture of Yoey, and we're talking about the gym.
Yeah.
It's going to be great, but I got like 2,000 pictures on here.
You're not going to find
really
it.
Really hard. It's one of the best gyms. He like sends it to me. This was years ago. But Yoey, it's a gym?
That's what he said. Hurt my ankle at the gym.
I wish I knew where this sucker was. Man, if I was... Here's Antonio Brown going crazy. Man... He really, there's no way he's at the gym. I guess he could go to the gym, but how do you hurt your ankle at a gym?
I don't know.
Let's go get an x-ray. I hope it's not a torn Achilles.
Oh, my God. Oh, would that be some karmic payback if everybody else in the Pittsburgh media started to rupture their Achilles?
I should tell him, don't get a boot. I got like a brand new one right here I've never used.
So that explains Yoey not joining us today. He busted himself up at the gym.
He could be lying.
Could be, but I'm not going to say that. You just did.
Oh, I'd definitely say that. Oh, man. God,
all right. Make sure you're following us on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and of course, subscribe on YouTube, because when we get to that magical number of 2,500 subscribers, we will give away the autographed Paul Skeens baseball. We'll do it again Friday morning around 8:30, a little earlier than usual, so I can take my kid to a softball tournament out in Weirton on Friday morning. And who knows what may happen between now and then. We'll find out what's wrong with Yoey. Hopefully it's nothing serious. Maybe somebody else signs a contract extension. Maybe we get another big time guest. You never know. What is
this
that?
Ain't it, but it's not it, but
it's just a random picture of Yoey. All right. Say goodbye to everyone. Kabooms. We'll see you next time.
I hurt my ankle.
Friday morning at 8:30. It's Kabali and Mac. Thanks again to the Dan Heck team for presenting the show.
You're darn well.